want to begin reading with verse number 8. Verse number 8 in chapter number 10. The Apostle Paul says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh in thy heart, that is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning. We come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear God, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you, dear God, for these that are bowed with us this morning. For the church, we pray, Lord, your blessings upon each one that's here this morning. God, I pray today, Lord, that if there be one soul here that's never been acquainted with the grace of God, Lord, they've never had a time or a place or an experience of grace, let, Lord, that in their life and in their heart, Lord, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they'd get saved. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach your word, Lord. We pray for liberty and ask you, dear God, that you'd give us liberty one more time. Lord, we didn't come this way with any enticing words of man's wisdom, but we come with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We ask you, Father, to go with us now in the service and give us the words that we need to say and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you, and we give you praise for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, the best I can read, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. The book of Romans is written for practical use, but not only practical, but also theology. The Apostle Paul, we know that was a Jew, a Hebrew. He said among the Hebrews, and his credentials of being a religious or in the religious world were great. The Apostle Paul mentions about his pedigrees and mentions about his religion and the stock that he was out of, born out of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, knew the law from a jot to a tittle. He studied the law under one of the greatest teachers, Gamaliel. The Bible teaches us the greatest teacher of the law. And so we know this morning that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this and began to lay down the argument on real salvation, he begins to talk about the resurrection. The Bible, as he begins to realize that where the rubber meets the road is found in the rising of the Lord Jesus from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. When you think about the resurrection, we celebrate, as Christians, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus all over America and all over the world. As we talk about our very foundation of our religion, our Christian religion is found and founded in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had he not rose from the dead, all of our preaching would be in vain. As the Apostle Paul begins to speak in the book of Corinthians, it would all be in vain. And the Bible said ye would yet be in your sins. And so this morning, because of the resurrection, then we're saved. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's the only Savior. Amen. He's the only hope that we have. The Bible said there is no other name given in heaven, nor on earth, nor beneath the earth, whereby men must be saved. He's the only doorway into heaven. He's the only hope we have of eternal life. The Bible said that he came to give life. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible said he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And now the book of Romans, the Bible said now that the word of God pointed to the resurrection. It was always in glimpses in the Old Testament times where there would be a resurrection. You find it even in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, when he got the vision of the dry bones. The Bible tells us that those bones were very dry. They were dead. And then the message was preached to them as the wind began to blow. And the Bible said then, after the message was preached to them, that they began to rise. Amen. A type of Israel being resurrected. A type, my friend, of God raising us from the dead. And so the Apostle Paul then begins to preach the resurrection on the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter had one message and one message only. And that was that Jesus had been raised from the dead. When Mary and Martha and the other women went down to the sepulchre to see, to anoint the body of Jesus, the Bible said when they got there, the angel of the Lord said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And so we know this morning that Jesus is alive, amen, and that he'd been raised from the dead. Do you believe that this morning? And the Bible said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And it's imperative this morning that we believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now there are many people today that profess to be Christian, but they do not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. How can you be a Christian and not believe that? That's a principal doctrine of the Christian faith, amen, is that Jesus was raised from the dead, amen. So now how we look back at the resurrection day, how you'll note first of all how the fear that was present that day. How the Bible tells us that when the women went down to the sepulchre, that they were afraid, amen. And you know, there's nothing good about going to a cemetery, especially when it's dark. Amen. The Bible said this was dark. One of the writers said it hadn't even broken day yet, but it was dark as they had went to the sepulchre. And I'm satisfied when you go to a cemetery at that time of the day, everything's quiet. You can't hear a bird chirping. You can't feel the wind blowing. It's just as quiet as it could be. And it gives us an eerie feeling when we're walking among the dead. There's just something about a cemetery in the night that'll bring fear. But the Bible tells us they had went there, and when they got there, they were Roman soldiers gathered around the tomb. There were people there commissioned by Pilate, commissioned to keep that sepulchre as sure as it can be. That there, nobody could get around it unless the word gets out that somebody had stolen his body and he is not there. Amen. And so they kept that sepulchre as sure as they could. But they were afraid when they saw the men gathered around. Naturally so. Naturally so. After all, there's women in the dark going to the cemetery afraid of what they're going to encounter and the obstacles they were going to encounter on that morning. But what really feared their heart was the fact that the Lord Jesus, that when he said that he was going to rise from the dead, that he did not do that. Amen. They was afraid, my friend, that he would not be risen from the dead. Now, listen to me for a few minutes this morning, if God will. Jesus said, "I destroy this body and this building, this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up again." Amen. And so now they're headed down there. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Amen. And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away," he said, "I'll come again to receive you where I am, there you may be also." Amen. And so now they had feared. The Bible said, that the angel of the Lord came to them and said, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see, he said, the place where the Lord lay. When there's an encounter with God, there's always fear. Amen. He's supernatural. He's not like you and I are. God brings about him fear and reverence. The Bible said that fear is the beginning of knowledge. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that ever had an encounter with God, there was a sense of fear, a nearness and fear. And we're afraid when we encounter God. The Bible tells us in the very beginning, even when Abraham and Moses and those great patriarchs of old, and how they encountered God, how they feared him. And I tell you what's the matter in our nation today is there is no fear of God in the hearts of men anymore. But I tell you, when you really have a real encounter with God, it'll set up some fear in your heart, and you'll know it's him. And the Bible tells us the angels of the Lord, as they began to show their self, they said, fear not. They were afraid when they saw heaven coming down and they saw the angels of the Lord. These were different than any person they'd ever seen. And the Bible tells us that there was a great earthquake had taken place. And the men that were gathering around the tomb had fell dead. And they were afraid in the encounter of God. And in the very presence of God, they feared that something would happen to them, and it did. Amen. They left there that day different than they did when they come. I tell you, when there's a real encounter with God, you can't ever leave the same way. You'll always leave different. Amen. I remember as a 16-year-old boy at an old-fashioned revival meeting, I knelt there that night in that altar because God had convinced me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. And I knelt there that night and I left there different forever. My life has been changed. Never have I ever been the same man that I used to be because I've had a real encounter with God. You have a real deal with God, and I'll say to you, you'll be different. He said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Amen. If that's the reason why Jesus called it born again. He said, that's born of the flesh is flesh. He said, but that's born again is born from above, born of the Spirit of God. And we're different. Amen. We see things different. We act different. We talk different. Amen. We go to different places. Praise God. You're never the same. Hallelujah. When you have a real encounter with God. Praise his holy name. But then the Apostle Paul said that there are some facts to be looked at. The Bible said if a man will confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm glad it's a no-soul salvation. You don't have to question anything. It's a no-soul salvation. You'll know about it. It's not a hope-so. I've asked a lot of people. I've said, are you saved? And they'll say, I hope so. I'm glad it's not a hope-so. I'm glad it's a no-so. I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. I know that I've been redeemed, been born again, and got a home reserved for me in glory because my name's written in the Lamb's book of life in glory. Hallelujah. I not only confess with my mouth, but I believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Amen. And so the Bible tells us the facts are there. The Bible said that these women went down to there. There's some things we know about the day of the resurrection. It's recorded in all four Gospels. He records the account of the resurrection. After all, it is the basis of our message. Amen. And the basis of our Christian faith is the resurrection. Yes. I thank Jesus for what he did for me on the cross of Calvary. I was going down the road the other day, heading down the road to my house, and the police had stopped the traffic and had slowed the traffic down, and then they told me I could go on, and I went on, and there's about a dozen men in the road carrying a cross with Jesus on the cross. I want you to know he's not on the cross. Amen. If you wear a necklace with Jesus still on the cross, I'd trade that one in. I would. He's not on the cross. Hallelujah. He's not in the grave. Thank God he's alive. Hallelujah. Now don't you get mad at me. They had that little statue about that long on that cross. And I wanted to stop. Miss D said, don't you say nothing. I wanted to stop. I had my window about halfway rolled down. She said, you better not say anything. I rolled my window back up and went on. I was wanting to holler and said, thank God he's not on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't stop there. And he went to the grave, the Bible said. And he is not there. He is risen like he said he would. Amen. The Bible said the women gathered there. There was an earthquake had taken place. The angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and they rolled back the stone from the door. And now here was the question on the stone. The women, as they were going to the sepulchre, they had discussed one with another, and they said, how are we going to roll away the stone? Well, the stone is massive, it's large, and we cannot roll it away. How are we going to roll the stone away? Well, praise God, the Bible said, and they descended from heaven, the angel of the Lord, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Boy, heaven was all in this. As it is, as it ought to be. It's God's Son. Amen. The fact is that when they went in to see him, they went in to see him to anoint the body of the dead. Amen. They went in to look, and he was not there. He said, behold, he is not here. I think about Peter in one of the gospel accounts. Said they told Peter that the Lord wasn't in there. And Peter goes and told him that he had raised from the dead. And Peter goes running to the sepulchre. And John stops before he gets in, and he looks in, but not Peter. Peter runs right in. He runs right in and looks around. He said he sees his grave clothes in one place and his head clothes in another, and he was not there. Hallelujah. Heaven had come down and glory had filled the place. Amen. The facts is that stone rolled away, and the Bible said as they came down, fear, the Bible said, because of the fear, those that were there had fell over dead. And the angel answered the women. I said, you don't have to be afraid. He said, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He had already died. And I believe somebody read this morning that they confirmed he was dead. They called for the centurion. That centurion possibly could have been Cornelius. Possibly could have been Cornelius. You remember Cornelius? I believe after that he had struck his side, how to know that he had died. Now they didn't break his bones, but they pierced his side. Cornelius could have been the very centurion that pierced his side. And from that time on, it bothered him. And he tried to bring retribution unto himself and tried to pay alms and pray every day. And he was a prayerful man. But God, hallelujah, sent Peter to Cornelius and said, Cornelius, amen, you can be saved if you believe in Jesus, the resurrection of the Lord. And Cornelius got saved and baptized in all of his house. Amen. The Bible said now they looked in and he wasn't there. They departed quickly and left the sepulchre and went and told the disciples that he is risen. He is not here. Now the fact is this. The Apostle Paul said that they had multiple witnesses that saw the Lord after his resurrection. All the apostles saw him.
The Bible tells us the credential of being an apostle is you had to see firsthand the Lord Jesus raised from the dead. The resurrection, you had to see him alive after his death. And he appeared unto them. Amen. They were satisfied that he is raised from the dead. They had firsthand knowledge and sight that Jesus is alive. Amen. And then the Bible said, after that they'd seen by Cephas, and then they'd seen the Apostle Paul said they'd seen of over 500 more people had testified that they had seen the Lord. And Paul said lastly, he said, I seen him. Amen. On the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul then. He had not been converted. He was Saul, but after that encounter with God, he was no longer the same man. He was not Saul, but he was Paul. Amen. The apostle, thank God, that was a chosen vessel unto God to preach the resurrection and teach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the facts are there, the fear was there, but then there has to be the faith. Now, the scriptures of the accounts were written long after Jesus had went back to the Father. The way they got the message out was verbally. They would tell it over and over again. They would rehearse it over. That's the reason why one of the Matthew tells a little different than Mark and Luke and John, and they tell it a little different according to how they saw it being born by the Holy Ghost. And even in the resurrection account, you'll find a little bit of difference in the telling according to how those men remembered it and told it. And so doesn't make it wrong, nor does it make it any error in the scripture. It was just the way they perceived what they saw being led by the Holy Ghost and what he wanted them to pin down. They were up in age now. They were all getting up in age, ready to depart this world. And so the Holy Ghost took those men and he bore them as they began to pin these words down that we call the New Testament. Amen. It's sort of like the first five books of the Bible. Somebody said, how could it possibly Moses know what went on in Genesis to write Genesis and the rest of the books? How could he possibly know the creation account? Well, the Holy Ghost bore Moses as he pinned those down and gave us the creation account. Amen? Amen. And so also the Holy Ghost took these men and they began to pin down the Word of God. It's holy. Amen. It's holy. It's inerrant, infallible. It is the Word of God. Amen. The red letters and the black letters carry the same strength. Amen. It's all the Word of God. So now the Apostle Paul is talking to his brethren. And his brethren are the Jew. And he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. The Bible said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Amen. Amen. To all them that believe. The Bible said that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, we always try to come up with some elaborate prayer. We try to make it sound as good as it possibly can sound. I know one preacher. I declare that fella can voice a prayer the prettiest I have ever heard in my life. Every time he prays, he voices that prayer. And I'll just sit there and you know how I am. I love orators. I love big speeches. I can't help it. I don't know why. I know that's kind of silly, but I like big speeches at the graduations. I like good speeches at, good eloquent speeches, I guess, because I can't do it, I reckon. But he could pray the prettiest prayer. And I think to myself, Lord, if he can pray like that, and you answer him, I don't have a chance. I don't have a chance if I've got to pray like that. But you know, I don't have to pray with eloquent speech. He said, if I just confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God had raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. Somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, I want you to know this morning I didn't either. And neither did anybody in this room know how to pray. But he said, if we'd confess the Lord Jesus, amen, just confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to say this, and I want to close. The Bible said they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And when they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Faith is a must. You have to believe that God has raised him from the dead and that he is alive. If you do not believe that, you cannot be saved. Now that's it. I didn't say that. I just read that to you. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is the very mark of our salvation, and our faith in Christ is to believe that he is alive. Do you believe that this morning? Let's stand.